Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise hymn number 70, Give Praise and Thanks Unto the Lord. 70. The Lord is near to those who call upon him in truth. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose nature is love, we worship you who are the Lord of heaven and earth and who rule over all things in your wisdom, power, and love. We turn to you with contrite hearts, Lord, trusting in your power to still the wave and to command the tempest, trusting that your holy arm is as strong to save as it is to smite. We confess before you our sin and our waywardness. We seek your forgiveness and your grace to enable us to live as we ought to live, being better disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, better ambassadors for him in the stresses and strains of life, in the hustle and bustle of daily activities, amid the temptations and opportunities which life affords us. Help us, Lord, to seek to know you more intimately. Come to us with the freshness of the morning. Cheer and enliven the thirsty ground of our souls with the dew of your presence. Shed your light on the path we tread. Chase away the sorrows of the past, that we may serve you with renewed vigor and greater commitment in the future. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 200, Christ is made the sure foundation. 200. We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 6, at verse 1. Micah, chapter 6, at verse 1. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead your case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, O mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, counseled and what Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And in the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, at verse 1. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 153, Great is Thy Faithfulness, 153. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, at verse 3, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Maybe you have come across the kind of thing which comes through the post, the outside of the envelope covered with statements of how lucky you are and how important it is that you open this right away and send back the part which you're supposed to send back so that your name can be included in the lucky draw whenever that is supposed to be made. When you do open the envelope and read all the blurb inside, and it tells you that you are already one of the lucky ones because you've already come through stage one and stage two of the competition. You didn't remember entering it, but this is good news anyway. Your name is one of the few from your area which have been picked to be invited to enter the draw. All you have to do now is to return the tear-off bit with the lucky number on it and say, yes, you will buy their product and you are in the draw. It's difficult to find people who have ever heard who wins those draws, let alone find people who themselves have won. But the letter is good fun because it's so enthusiastic. You're already lucky. You're lucky now. Most of us have seen that kind of thing, and we've maybe seen it so often that we're not taken in by the enthusiastic approach, the exclamations of how lucky we are. We probably throw the thing away. Or at least we think that whether we're lucky in the draw or not has yet to be decided, something which is still in the future. That's the sensible way, I suppose, to regard those lucky draw invitations. But Jesus, when he is giving the people those blessings which we know as the Beatitudes, Jesus is not speaking about something which is in the future, something which people have to look forward to. He's speaking about something which is true now. And I think we used to use the New English Bible in the church some years ago. We don't seem to use that now. But the New English Bible had an advantage here in that it said at the beginning of each verse, instead of just blessed are so-and-so, it said, how blessed are those who know their need of God, and so on. And the enthusiasm of Jesus in giving those Beatitudes is not false or misplaced, it's genuine enthusiasm. And that's the first thing we have to recognize about the Beatitudes. They're not promises for the future. They're not telling us about the blessing to be enjoyed in some future life. They're blessings in the here and now. They're not statements, they're exclamations. How blessed are those who know their need of God? That's one thing that the New English Bible did for us, in this particular passage anyway. Whatever we may think about modern translations, it's true that Jesus is here exclaiming. And the other thing we have to notice about the Beatitudes is this. The word blessed is used. This word doesn't mean fortunate or lucky. Jesus is not speaking like the proprietors of the prize draw who can tell a few people that they are the lucky ones. Jesus is speaking about a blessedness which is not affected by the circumstances of this life. A blessedness which neither life nor death can interfere with. How blessed are the poor in spirit, those who know their need of God. It may be that in the Aramaic language, which Jesus and his disciples used, that the idea began with literal poverty, the poor in spirit. Those who were poor had no influence with others, so they were downtrodden, so they relied entirely on God. That's how the idea developed originally. The literally poor are blessed because they don't rely on their wealth. They don't rely on their influence with other people. They don't have any wealth. They don't command any influence over other people. So they rely on God. They know their need of God because they have nothing else to rely on. Sometimes people rely on God as a last resort. turn to God when they've no one else, resort to prayer when all else has failed. Now, is Jesus saying here that those are the people who are blessed, those who've tried everything else and found that it fails, or those who've lost everything they ever had, or those who never had anything in the way of material wealth? Those people are blessed because they've been forced, as it were, to turn to God and to rely on him. Is that what Jesus is saying? Not exactly. He's not advocating that we live our life relying on our money or our influence with other people or our reputation until those things fail, and then we turn to God. People do that, and if they do, they will find that God does not desert them, but it will be harder for them to turn to God. It's not something we can do like turning on a switch. Turning to God requires an effort of the mind and the will. If we've taught our mind and our will over many years to turn another way, we'll find it all the more difficult to turn to God, even when we want to do that. Difficult, but not impossible. And if we do turn to God as a last resort, if we're coming to that point even now as we sit here in church this morning, if the things and the people that we customarily rely on have let us down, and we're desperately trying even now to turn to God for help, it may be hard to do, but it will be possible, and God will help us. But Jesus is advocating a better way still. He is saying that it is blessed for us to know from the start our need of God, to know from the outset that it is on God that we have to rely for all that we need to see us through this life. On God, and not on things, and not on other people, and not on ourselves. The person who realizes that is blessed. He or she is blessed here and now, with a blessing which the world cannot take away. When we have this realization, when we become the poor in spirit, as some versions of the Bible put it, those who know their need of God, when we come to that position, two things happen. The first thing is that we become detached from material things. We know in our heart of hearts that things don't have what it takes to give us security and help and happiness. And the second thing is that then we become attached to God. We know that it's only God who can bring us security and help and happiness. We know this not because we've tried everything else and it has failed, or because we've lost everything else we possessed, but because we have learned to trust God, and God has made it known to us in the course of life. There is a danger here, the danger of thinking that Jesus is advocating poverty as a way of life. If we don't have anything, we don't rely on things. On the face of it, that would seem to be true. And he did say at another time that it was very hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus is not saying it is blessed to live in abject poverty. Jesus does not say those people are blessed because of their poverty, who have not enough food to eat, those who live in unsanitary housing conditions where disease is rife, old people dying of hypothermia because they can't afford to heat the house. Jesus is not advocating that we should seek to live in conditions like that. Nor is he saying that people who do live like that are the blessed ones. Those living conditions are not blessed, and the Christian gospel is concerned with removing them. Jesus is saying that those who are blessed are those who experience the poverty of spirit. When we realize our complete lack of resources to meet the challenge of life, when we therefore find our help and strength in God, that, he says, is a blessed state. We may arrive at it in various ways. Material poverty may indeed play a part in helping us to arrive at it, but it's this realization in ourselves which is blessed. And he goes on to say why. How blessed are those who know their need of God. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. What does that mean? Where was it that Jesus most characteristically spoke of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God? He spoke about it a great deal in the course of his earthly ministry, but there was one utterance of Jesus in particular in which the kingdom of God is especially mentioned and which helps us here to understand what Jesus means. It was when he responded to his disciples' request to teach them to pray. He taught them to pray, beginning, "Our Father." In the prayer, we have the words, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The kingdom of God is the rule of God in human hearts and lives. It's a society in which the will of God is being done within human lives and in human circumstances. We sometimes debase the phrase "the kingdom of heaven" in our form of speech. We say that politicians or others will promise us the kingdom of heaven just to get us to vote for them, things like that. But politicians don't have the kingdom of heaven to offer or promise to people. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, those who are citizens of that kingdom are those whose lives are expressing the will of God. That is, those who know their own helplessness, their utter dependence on God, their inability to cope with life without God. Those, therefore, who have come in one way or another to put their trust in God, to rely on him for everything needful in life. May God help us then to realize our helplessness. May he help us to see the utter inadequacy of things, to rely entirely on him, so that ours may be the blessing, the blessedness, that in our life his will is being done. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 515, "Soldiers of Christ, Arise," 515. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we seek the help of your Holy Spirit to make things holy, to make our lives holy and our thoughts, and these our material offerings and the purposes to which they are dedicated in your service. We thank you for your never-failing goodness, for the joy of home and family, the friendship we share with people, and the helpfulness exchanged between neighbors. We thank you for things to do, for health and strength, for your love shining through human loves and coming to us in a variety of ways. Above all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, for all he has done and continues to do for us, for your Holy Spirit at work in the church and in our hearts, revealing your truth, renewing our life, and bringing us to your eternal kingdom. Lord, we pray for your church, here in this parish and in the parish linked with us, elsewhere in this country and throughout the world. We pray that your people may be courageous and exercise faith so that your word may become known and become the basis of people's lives. We pray for our Queen and those in authority, that in fulfilling their duties they may be guided by your Spirit and upheld by your grace. We pray for the community in which we live, for the country to which we belong, for the world in whose life we are all bound up together. We pray that the nations of the world may follow the path of peace. We pray for all who are in troubled times, that you may help them through. We give thanks for the word of Jesus bidding his disciples not to fear those people or those powers who can kill the body but cannot harm the soul. Help us to open ourselves to the influence of your Holy Spirit so that we may live in that eternal life shared by all the faithful which you alone can give. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Friends, we've had word from the High Kirk about an event taking place there. The Reverend Norman Cruikshank will be leading a 6 weeks course of Bible study in the High Kirk manse from Tuesday of next week, not this coming Tuesday, but Tuesday the 26th of April at 2:30 in the afternoon. This has happened in previous years, and people from our congregation and that of our dear have sometimes attended, and we are assured that a warm welcome is extended to any of us who wish to attend there. So that's Tuesday in the High Kirk manse, not this Tuesday, but from the 26th of April onwards. Our closing praise is hymn number 551, In Heavenly Love Abiding, 551.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.